Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From NPR and WBUR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Today's story begins with a PowerPoint. The PowerPoint landed in the hands of Satchel and Cooper Walton. They're brothers and students at DuPont Manual High School in Louisville, Kentucky. Satchel and Cooper, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great being here, Meghna.
Thank you. Yes, thanks for having us.
Well, I'm wondering if we could actually just start by you telling us a little bit about yourself. Satchel, why don't you go first?
Yes, I'm a junior at DuPont Manual High School in the Journalism and Communications program.
And Cooper, what about you?
I'm a freshman at DuPont Manual High School, also in the Journalism and Communications program.
Okay, so we've got two young high school journalists here. Now, about this PowerPoint, we're going to talk a little bit in a little bit about how you got it, but it's a training slideshow that was once used by the Kentucky State Police. So I'm actually looking at it here on a link through your newspaper's website, the Manual Red Eye. By the way, it's a very fine student newspaper. But so the first page of this training PowerPoint from the Kentucky State Police, it's got this big title on it called The Warrior Mindset. Can you just describe a little bit more about what's on that first page?
Yeah, on the first page here, on the first slide, we've got the warrior mindset, big font up top, and then we've got a star-spangled banner with an eagle looking directly at us in front of it. It says Kentucky State Police Academy, and then the name of the trainer who made it.
That's Lieutenant Kurt Hall, and we'll talk about him in a second. So you get this slideshow, you're flipping through it, clicking through it, being like, okay, there's actually kind of a bunch of interesting stuff here about warrior mindset. And then you get to a page whose title is, or a slide, I should say, whose title is A Warrior Must Possess. Okay, and I'm looking at it here now, and there's a bullet point. There's several bullet points, and there's one that says the word belief next to it. And there's a quote from Mahatma Gandhi about a small body of determined spirits fired by an unquenchable faith and belief in their mission can alter the course of history. A Gandhi quote. Okay, and what's right under that?
That is a quote from Adolf Hitler.
What does the quote say?
The quote is, "And I can fight only for something that I love. Love only what I respect, and respect only what I at least know."
And it's attributed.
And it's attributed. Okay. So, Then you keep flipping through it, right? And you get to, see if I can find it, another slide titled Violence of Action. And here there's a quote from Albert Einstein. "The world is a dangerous place not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing." And then below that Einstein quote, what's the next quote there?
That is another quote from Adolf Hitler. "The very first essential for success is a perpetually constant and regular employment of violence," attributed.
Okay. And then the very next page, the very next slide titled, "It All Boils Down to This." And the quotation at the bottom of that page is what?
"It is always more difficult to fight against faith than knowledge," Adolf Hitler.
And then the very next page, there's a picture. There's really just only one picture on it. It's that very famous photograph of the flag raising at Iwo Jima, February 1945, United States Marines doing that. Photograph shot by AP photographer Joe Rosenthal. And there's really nothing else on this page except the big title at the top of that slide in bold font. And what is the title of this page?
Uber Alles.
Uber Alles. That's right. Okay. So, that phrase, in particular, by the way, at one time was in the German national anthem. It was sung very passionately by Germans all the way until the end of the Second World War, after which it was removed because the Nazis used Über alles as, or above all, superior to all, as one of their motivating factors in the Holocaust and the Second World War. So you got you're seeing this thing, Satchel and Cooper. And what's your first thought? Like, what's going on here?
Well, I was absolutely shocked. I mean, there's also a Robert E. Lee quote in there, which is just awful and terrible, to quote the man who was the general who led the fight for slavery, who fought for the Confederacy. But, you know, knowing the culture among some white conservative Southern people around here, that one didn't shock me that Lee would be quoted in a police training. But Hitler seemed outside the realm of possibility, even here, and I just couldn't believe my eyes, Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, I was really just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, as Satchel said, like, quoting Hitler, it's just completely unacceptable, and I couldn't believe that this was used to train troopers in the Kentucky State Police.
So how did you get this PowerPoint?
Right. So our dad is a lawyer, and he, one of his partners was working on a police shooting case in Eastern Kentucky in Appalachia, and through discovery saw this slideshow. And when he was going, and then the law firm had sent it to to a journalist who oddly didn't seem very interested in it. And when our dad texted us a screenshot of this in the family group chat, Cooper and I said, "Oh my gosh, this isn't from The Onion. This isn't a parody or anything. Someone's got to write an article about this. You're sending this to someone, right?" And but no one, the only person they sent it to wasn't particularly interested. So we took it upon ourselves that this was a big, big deal, that this was shocking and needed to be out there.
Thank goodness for the two of you, honestly, and for the rest of us adults whose hands this might have passed through and didn't do anything about it. Shame on us, because you're exactly right. Mein Kampf being quoted in a training manual for law enforcement anywhere is a problem. So tell us more then about what you found out. How long was this training manual used with the Kentucky State Police?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we first found this 2013 presentation, and then later on, we got one from 2011, which was very similar.
And one Hitler
then
quote.
With one Hitler quote. And then we now have one that dates back all the way to 1998, which doesn't have Hitler quotes, but is still disturbing all the same.
It quotes Lee, it advocates, it tells officers, cadets rather, to be ruthless killers. Much of the same content going from 1998 to 2005 as well, although we just found Hitler quotes in the 2011 and 2013 versions.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your reporting, you reached out to the Kentucky State Police for a statement, for an interview. Very good, solid journalistic practice. And I'm reading your original story that you published here on October 30th of this year. And one of the first statements that the Kentucky State Police sent back to you said this: "The quotes are used for their content and relevance to the topic addressed in the presentation. The presentation touches on several aspects of service, selflessness, and moral guidance. All of these topics go to fundamentals of law enforcement, such as treating everyone equally, service to the public, and being guided by the law." Did that first statement from the Kentucky State Police ever say specifically that maybe the content of Hitler's quotes or Uber Alles above a picture of the flag raising at Iwo Jima might not actually be relevant to American law enforcement?
Right.
No.
They didn't condemn it at all. And that spokesperson has since been reassigned.
Okay. So you guys did some digging here. Who wrote this? And we know this was used for at least a couple of different years, different PowerPoints. Do you guys know how many state troopers went through a training that used this manual?
Well, we believe around 60 for the 2013 one, and probably around similar numbers each year.
Yeah, so about 120 overall saw the Hitler quotes.
Okay.
And graduated.
Okay. So, and I know this is a question that you guys have been wondering, and given your terrific reporting, I wonder if you've been able to find an answer subsequently. How many of those troopers are still working for the Kentucky State Police?
We're still working on figuring that one out.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's more than fair. So I want to talk a little bit about what the response was to this kind of incredible discovery that the two of you made. So just a few days after you uncovered this, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear apologized to the Jewish community in the state, and he said this as well.
This should have never happened. And we are committed, this administration is committed, to making sure that not only does this never happen in the future, but that we repair any damage done in the past. We're not going to rest until we fix this.
So, Satchel and Cooper, what kind of fix has happened since then, if anything?
Well, one thing that was one of the most immediate impacts is the KSP commissioner, Rodney Brewer. Beshear asked him to resign, which he did.
Yes. And there's been Beshear's office has launched an investigation into past and present training materials for both of the law enforcement training agencies under state purview, the Kentucky State Police and the Department of Criminal Justice trainings, which I hope we have time to talk about the Department of Criminal Justice trainings later. I've had some problems with some of the transparency regarding those investigations, but they're doing something.
Okay, so we most certainly will when we come back. Today, we are talking with two high school journalists from Louisville, Kentucky, who a little earlier this year, a month or two ago, uncovered training materials that the Kentucky State Police used that heavily relied on quotes from the likes of Adolf Hitler. So we'll find out more about what happened when we come back. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/on point. That's Indeed.com/on point. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Today we are talking with Satchel and Cooper Walton. They are brothers and students at DuPont Manual High School in Louisville, Kentucky. They are also student journalists who uncovered a really disturbing story about training materials that had been used by the Kentucky State Police. These training materials celebrated a warrior mentality. Now, that is not unusual at all in law enforcement, but the training materials went a step further and heavily quoted from Adolf Hitler. And Satchel and Cooper join us today from Louisville. And Satchel and Cooper, I want to ask you more about the specifics of your reporting because you've done a lot of work since that first piece that came out in October. But can we just take a step back for a second? Because you're there in growing up in Louisville, right? And here's a city that's still undergoing this massive reckoning about police violence, right? With the death of Breonna Taylor, and that happened, you know, with the Louisville Metro Police. And you've been focusing on the Kentucky State Police, so technically different organizations. But I wonder how much you thought about that as you were doing your reporting on these training materials, about this bigger picture about Kentucky and law enforcement and violence.
Yeah. When writing the articles, we always had, you know, Breonna Taylor and LMPD in the back of our minds. But I mean, for this, we couldn't really find a good way to, you know, fit that into this story, but it was always in the back of our minds as something that would be relevant.
Mm-hmm. We've got further reporting on that case coming up.
Oh, you do? Okay. I'm not going to ask you to scoop yourself just yet. But, I mean, the reason why I ask that is because, I mean, this is your community, right? This is your city. And I'm not saying that you would be able to draw specific connections between the two, but this idea, I mean, the whole Kentucky State Police training manual is about that warrior mentality, right? And it's about, I mean, there's language in there, let's see if I can find it, about how, values and beliefs, there are things that you're willing to die for, the thin gray line stuff. There is, I'll find it in a second here, but there is a line, here it is, a progression of digression, that police tend to degenerate into the mold of the people they are trying to control. So there's a whole ethos about what policing actually, in the eyes of this training, means that people, that the community at large has been discussing there in Louisville. And here you are with a PowerPoint that's like sort of highlights the problem. So I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Exactly. I mean, I think we've seen in Louisville, certainly, that the best way to train our officers is not to teach them that every member of the community is an enemy, someone they need to be constantly wary of, and that they may need to kill someone at any second, that they instead need to be trained as members of the community to help other people, to be the guardian. And that's not a mentality that's been demonstrated by Louisville Metro Police Department in the Breonna Taylor case, certainly, or certainly not by this training.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's more about specifically what you've uncovered that I want to talk about here. First, let's listen to how members of the community have been reacting to your reporting, Satchel and Cooper. So here is Sarah Klein-Wagner, president and CEO of the Jewish Federation in Louisville. And she talked to us about her response to what you found in the Kentucky State Police training manual.
It's unthinkable that the dangerous teachings from the Nazi movement would still show up, much less in Kentucky, in the form of training for law enforcement. As a Jewish community, we recognize that there are many good people in law enforcement. However, it's unacceptable that a few or perhaps many individuals could bring such hatred front and center. We encourage everyone in the Commonwealth of Kentucky and law enforcement who sees or hears these elements rooted in hatred to speak out and be part of the change.
That's Sarah Klein-Wagner, president and CEO of the Jewish Federation in Louisville. Satchel and Cooper, have members of the community writ large reached out to you? Have you heard? How much have you been hearing from people about what you found?
Oh, there was a huge local reaction. Go ahead, Cooper.
Yes, there was a huge local reaction and a huge national reaction, as Satchel was saying. And like we've had a lot of community leaders reach out to us. Do you want to talk more about that, Satchel?
Sure. I mean, we've certainly gotten a reaction from the Jewish community in Louisville and in Kentucky. We've spoken at some synagogues about it. We've also heard from people who have been invested in learning about police and protesting against police malpractice for months now. As we talked about the Breonna Taylor case, Breonna Taylor was shot in March by the Louisville Metro Police Department. So for many months now, that's been an ongoing conversation in Louisville that we've contributed to.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let's... I have so many questions for the two of you. What you've done is truly remarkable. So hats off to you. But let's get back to the actual work, the actual journalism here, because this training PowerPoint from the state police, as we pointed out at the beginning, its first slide is about the warrior mentality, right? And so we reached out to Pete Kraska. He's a professor in the School of Justice Studies at Eastern Kentucky University. And he has closely tracked the militarization of American policing and the emergence of that warrior mindset, which he told us goes back to the war on drugs and the mid-90s.
The for-profit training industry figured out that the police really wanted to hear messages that coincided with their paramilitary culture. And so they elevated people like retired Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, who was probably the father of this kind of training, to almost a guru status.
And Grossman is now one of the most well-known military and law enforcement trainers nationwide. And the training materials that Satchel and Cooper found draw from Grossman's theory of killology, where officers have a responsibility to kill and to be able to kill without feeling, really. Now, Professor Kraska says that police academies that use this type of rhetoric are fostering militarization, or militarization not just of skills, but of a mindset, because the academies also teach stories, ideologies, and narratives as well that go along with this warrior mindset. And Kraska says that the Kentucky State Police training materials are perfect examples of this.
One of these was an actual video trying to educate, not teach them a skill, but educate them about the origins of the heroin crisis. And what they were teaching them was a radically distorted and factually wrong account in a police training academy. So we have to remember that training academies are far more than teaching people how to fire a weapon. They involve the inculcation of values and ideas and culture. And we have to be extremely responsible for how we do these things.
That's Pete Kraska, professor in the School of Justice Studies at Eastern Kentucky University. Now, Satchel and Cooper, he was talking about another one of your stories, this training video that included something disturbing. Can you tell us more about that?
Right. So this is not the same exact agency. The Kentucky Department of Criminal Justice trainings, though, after we wrote the first article that we've been talking about, we got an anonymous tip from someone who works within law enforcement who said that the Kentucky Department of Criminal Justice trainings, which does trainings for smaller police departments in Kentucky, for most of the police departments in Kentucky, had used a training video for 911 operators that included a Sonnenrad, which is a Nazi symbol, in it, and had a clip they used had been cut from a video that from a neo-Nazi film company, and the full video they cut it from said all sorts of anti-Semitic stereotypes and conspiracies, notably that Jewish people caused the American opioid epidemic.
This is for a training video for 911 operators?
Right.
Correct.
Okay. And were you able to find out who made the video? Because presumably whoever this person or people are, I mean, they were watching those other conspiracy-laden anti-Semitic videos, I don't know, on the side? Or was the video made for them by another company? What do we know?
Right. Well, this video wasn't made specifically for them. It was already uploaded to YouTube and to the site and to the far right neo-Nazi film company's site. So this person was, we guess, probably looking at other content similar to it. We've got some names on forms of who made it, but some of the forms are contradictory from the open records requests we got. And we asked the Governor Beshear in an interview Friday about his ongoing investigation into it that he said he was conducting. He did not have answers to questions about who'd put that video in there, if they knew what the Sonnenrad symbol was, if they'd watched the rest of the video, if the Department of Criminal Justice Trainings even paid this neo-Nazi film company for it. He was not able to answer questions about that.
Okay, so let me just read to you a statement that we got from the Justice and Public Safety Cabinet in Kentucky. We told them we were going to be talking about your reporting today, and their recent statement to us basically mirrors what you guys just said, that the Justice and Public Safety Cabinet continues to work diligently to swiftly and thoroughly conduct an internal review of all training materials and will provide information as it becomes available. And then they referenced us back to public statements that Governor Beshear had made on the 17th and just after the 30th, the 17th of November and the 30th of October. And so they haven't told you at all when the results of that internal review might be forthcoming?
Nope. It's and you can watch the interview with Governor Beshear, but he said basically that it was an ongoing investigation, that they wanted to do it thoroughly and weren't going to put a specific timeline on it, but they were going to be partnering with community organizations and groups to review all law enforcement trainings present and some past ones from the Kentucky State Police and Department of Criminal Justice trainings.
Okay. I want to bring into the conversation now Sadiqua Reynolds. Sadiqua is president and CEO of the Louisville Urban League and a former judge as well. Sadiqua Reynolds, welcome to On Point.
Thank you so much, Meghna. It is an honor to be here. These young men are amazing.
So tell me more about that. What were your first thoughts upon seeing these revelations having to come from two teenagers, two high school journalists?
Well, you know, I thought it wasn't real. I thought surely this is something that is old. They have stumbled upon something that was used many, many moons ago before I was born, or maybe when I was a little girl, but certainly this isn't actually happening as late as 2013. Surely this can't be real. I was absolutely shocked.
Yeah, and it's, you know, their first story from October 30th is shocking enough, but then Satchel and Cooper keep finding other examples, right?
I mean, and that's exactly right. And that is the frustration of it, that others are not looking and saying, perhaps we should look at our training to see what's happening here. The other thing they point out that is phenomenal, you've got 120 people who are now somehow connected to KSP who have looked at this training. And listen, they weren't all white. They certainly, the vast majority of them would have been white. But I wonder about how many Jewish people, how many Black people, how many of those folks sat in that room in a training with Hitler quotes and said nothing, reported to no one, never raised their hands. How over and over and over again can we possibly have this sort of training exist? And the 911 training is just, this is beyond an embarrassment. It is exactly what is wrong with our country. And this, what they have uncovered is the problem of America. We have got to be honest about the fact that racism and hatred, they continue because these things are still being taught. This idea of supremacy is being daily taught to people who are in charge of serving and protecting.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about these training PowerPoints, and if I'm pausing, it's just because I can't believe I even have to, talking about this, it still blows my mind, okay? So you talked about serving, and protecting. I mean, those are very specific words. It's a very specific duty of law enforcement. And in that first training slideshow that Satchel and Cooper uncovered, those concepts are almost non-existent. Right. And yeah. So there's a lot of discussion about, of course, warrior mentality, controlling people, not degenerating into the people you're trying to control. And in terms of when it says who or what values are you there to protect? It's religious freedom and family and things like that. The protecting, you know, following the law doesn't really explicitly show up anywhere in this PowerPoint. So what does that tell you?
But, Because this goes back to those slave patrols, right? This goes back to why police were created in the first place. It's not about law and order. This country cares about law and order as it relates to controlling things and keeping things in order and against oppressing people who we don't want to see, or this country doesn't want to see lifted up. Those folks that have been identified as problematic from the beginning. I mean, that's what this is about. And more we have to expose that. So when you hear people saying we need to defund police, we need to think about how to reform police, it is because you can be a good human and a good person in a police department, and still, at the end of the day, this is the training. This is the culture. Overwhelmingly, this is what policing has become, or let's say it, this is what it has always been. And that's what we've got to talk about. Meghna, I want to say this too.
Actually, Sadiqa, I'm so sorry. I don't want to cut you off in the middle of the next thought, because I have 20 seconds before I have to get us to a break. I'll pick it up when we come back. Sadiqa Reynolds and Cooper Walton and Satchel Walton as well. Hang on for just a second. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Tomorrow, we will be talking about President-elect Joe Biden's healthcare team. He's named the folks he wants to serve as Secretary of Health and Human Services, as Surgeon General, head of the CDC, etc. So we want to hear from you about, if you could send a message or a request to the Biden health team, what would you tell them? Where do you think you want them to focus their efforts and priorities in both beating back the pandemic and advancing healthcare in America? Call us and leave a voicemail at 617-353-0683. That's 617-353-0683. That's for tomorrow's show. Today, we are hearing the remarkable story of what two high school journalists in Kentucky uncovered. Training manuals, training PowerPoints from the Kentucky State Police that did things like quote Adolf Hitler not just once, not just twice, but three times, that had slides that had the phrase Uber Alles at the top of it, and more, and what that means about policing in Louisville, Kentucky, and in America more broadly. So those two students are Satchel Walton and Cooper Walton. They are a junior and freshman, respectively, at DuPont Manual High School. Sadiqa Reynolds also joins us. She's president and CEO of the Louisville Urban League. And Sadiqa, appreciate your patience, but you were going to finish a thought before I had to interrupt you before that last break.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much. You know, I think about the response from the KSP spokesperson, Lieutenant Joshua Lawson. Mm-hmm. The quotes are used for their content and relevance to the topic addressed in the presentation. The presentation touches on several aspects of service, selflessness, and moral guidance. All of these topics, blah, blah, blah. The idea that KSP would attempt to defend the use of the slides, that they did not have enough sense to say, maybe we should apologize. Maybe this is inappropriate. That is because it is clearly acceptable in law enforcement. And they had no reason to believe there would be repercussions from this information that Cooper and Satchel uncovered. And that is a part of the broader problem with policing in this country. They don't believe that even this kind of thing is an issue. It's simply what we do. And that has to be unacceptable. But so many people are so willing to just say, oh, you know, there's so many good law enforcement officers and we don't want to be critical. We should be celebrating. Listen, we have got to think about what is really happening with police in our country. There is a problem and we have to fix it. And what they have done, Cooper and Satchel, they've uncovered it at its core. This is so you could almost you could take someone who is a good and decent human being, sit them down at this training and turn them into the monsters that we are having to deal with on the streets of our city. And I'm not saying all, but I am telling you this brainwashing that takes place because of this kind of training and this kind of attitude is exactly what has to be stopped. It has to be.
Yeah. You know, you said they had no reason to believe that there was a problem because there wasn't. There wasn't until Satchel and Cooper uncovered it, right? And even then, I'm not sure what kind of sweeping reforms I'm seeing coming out of the Kentucky State Police.
You're not seeing them. And the thing is, we also have to be really intentional about tying these things back to some of the policies.
Sadiqa Reynolds, you still there? Okay, we're going to get her back here. We're definitely going to get her back in a second because I had lots more questions for her. But Satchel and Cooper, this is your story, so I'm going to turn back to you. First of all, let me just play a little bit more tape because it gets to the point that Ms. Reynolds was talking about. Again, this is Peter Kraska, professor at the School of Justice Studies at Eastern Kentucky University, and he talked about what he thinks are the consequences when leaders with militaristic approaches to law enforcement rise in the ranks.
If those people gain power like they have in the upper echelons of Kentucky training, both at KSP and DOCJT, they're educating new officers in that mindset. And it's insidious. And my hope is that the governor of Kentucky and other groups that can influence this don't just look at this as some isolated incident and one trainer that did something. Do a thorough investigation and really shake things up and change this, because we cannot have our cadets in Kentucky go through this kind of training.
Satchel and Cooper, have there been any commitments beyond that investigation for any kind of change or reform?
Governor Beshear in our interview Friday said that there would be more cultural awareness trainings provided to law enforcement, that some of these training materials from Kentucky State Police and the Department of Criminal Justice training would be reviewed together with community groups, although he was rather vague. It didn't specify which community groups or when this process would be over or how the public would be informed about it when we asked, and didn't commit to any further personnel changes beyond Rodney Brewer's resignation. But I think Sadiqa made a really good point, too, that this is a problem not just with a few bad apples, because 120 people, at least from the years we know of in 2011 and 2013, 120 people went through this training and saw Hitler quotes and didn't say anything to the media. When we did an open records request, we didn't find any complaints. They said there were no complaints about Lieutenant Kurt Hall's trainings. And so no one spoke up about this. So it's a systemic problem within this culture, whereas we can contrast this somewhat with the Department of Criminal Justice trainings video that showed a Nazi symbol and was from a neo-Nazi film company. This was launched in September 2020 and was reported to us in October or maybe November 2020. So within a few months, someone had spoken up about that one. But it shows the systemic problem within law enforcement of terrible culture if Hitler quotes can go by for years with no one speaking up.
Yeah. You know, so there's so many layers here, right? There's the Robert E. Lee quote part and the thin gray line slide, for example, from your first bit of reporting. So the ties back to the Confederacy. There's all the Hitler quotes. But, I mean, if that weren't enough to make these materials incredibly objectionable, one would think that at the very least, one of these 120 people who saw these materials, when you got to that side of the Uber Alles with the picture of U.S. Marines underneath it at Iwo Jima, like the brethren of those same U.S. Marines laid down their lives in fighting in the European theater in World War II to defeat Nazism. I mean, like the juxtaposition of those two things together, nobody said a thing.
Shocking.
Okay. I suppose I am not doing as good a job as you did, because I am letting my disturbance stop myself from doing better journalism. So Sadiqa Reynolds, are we back? Are you back with us?
I am absolutely here.
Okay. So yeah. So let me just ask you. I did want to hear from you about the line that's drawn, whether overtly or covertly, between that thin gray line slide that has a quote from Robert E. Lee. Let me see if I can find it. The quote is, "Private and public life are subject to the same rules. Truth and manliness will carry you through the world much better than policy or tact or expediency or any other word that was ever devised to conceal a deviation from a straight line." So that is in this same presentation with the Hitler stuff. So talk about the connections there.
Well, that connection, that quote that you just read is from General Robert E. Lee, right? Who was the general who led the fight for slavery. So you think about police and why police were created and to keep those slaves in line, to make sure they weren't escaping, and all of the history there. And then this idea, this manliness will carry you through the world. I mean, this, everything about it is offensive. Think of the women who might have gone through this training. I don't know if we have any female Kentucky State Police officers. I imagine either you would complain, I'd like to think, or would you just drop out? You know, because we don't know how many people enrolled and then said, you know what, I don't want to be with these folks. I'm just going to walk away, because sometimes that's easier than raising your voice to say this whole entire training is offensive and part of the problem. We don't know how often that happened, if it ever happened. But what we do know is this gray line, the way we are being policed in America, it is exactly a reflection of this kind of training. It is exactly in line with this idea of keeping people in their places, of these degenerates, these people who are not good enough, and but for us, where would they be? You know, and so earned, never given, all of this stuff. You know, a title is only a name. Living it is the challenge. As if there is this superiority even among them. You know, this sort of these people who would go into this line of work are somehow more enlightened than the rest of us. And by the rest of us, right, I'm talking about communities that are over-policed, because they don't train for prospect. They're not training for what they're going to deal with in prospect. They're training for that war on drugs that they, you know, in the 90s. And who was that about, right? Who was impacted in that war on drugs? Those are the kinds of things that we have to tie it back to the policy. That's what I want people to understand. When you have this kind of mentality, it comes out in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Yes, in your policing, but also in your prisons, also in your housing policy, because somehow you are training people to believe that this whole group, they're just not good enough. They can't do it. And so this is what we have to do in order to survive. We're being sent into war. No, you are being sent into communities, and your presence is creating war.
You know, we've got just about 5 minutes left, and I want to turn more towards, okay, so what do we do now? So first of all, let me play this cut, this piece of tape that we got from Rabbi Robert Schlossberg of Congregation Adath Jeshurun in Louisville. And he told us that Satchel and Cooper's reporting gives him hope.
There were a lot of adults that had opportunities to speak up about the KSP manual and other documents that have been produced that are alarming today to all of us. And no one spoke up. And so here are these kids who said, this is not right. This is like shocking. God bless these kids. I think we need to learn from them, and we need to make a better world for them that really has people policing, working together with us to make the world better and our communities safer, not more violent and more frightening.
That's Rabbi Robert Schlossberg. So, Satchel and Cooper, I hope you don't mind if I ask you, but I have been really curious about something. Before you reported this story, did you ever really think about law enforcement or policing just kind of in your day-to-day lives as two young white teens?
I mean, with everything that's been happening this year, with the killing of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and all these, I mean, it's something I thought about a lot before this article. Mm-hmm. So, yes. And how, of course, even before this, I was thinking about how police were trained as warriors.
Good. Great. I mean, because I think there's a lot of people who, if they were to answer that question honestly, would say no. I mean, I have lived a fortunate enough life that I haven't had to think about it very much. But you're right. Like, this country is thinking about it now more than ever. So what do you... Maybe I shouldn't be asking the reporters this question, but I'll do it anyway. What do you think needs to happen next, Satchel and Cooper?
Well, yeah, as reporters, I don't want to talk too much about that. But as some people we spoke to have had many suggestions, like a local attorney, Greg Belsley, told us that it was the exact wrong thing to be doing, to be training these officers that they are warriors, that they need to look around and everyone they see needs to be someone they're ready to kill. Everyone's a threat. This philosophy of killology based on Dave Grossman's theories, Dave Grossman being one of the most popular police trainers in the country, who has this theory about training people to kill, about seeing everyone as an enemy. And when many of our officers are coming back from combat zones, are veterans and do need to be hyper-vigilant, teaching them now that they're in communities, on the streets, to see everyone as an enemy, I don't think, and people I've talked to don't think, is the best way to be training them.
Well, Sadiqua Reynolds, you heard Satchel and Cooper say a little earlier that Governor Beshear said he would try to institute some kind of cultural training, but that must only be the beginning if we're to shift a mindset that's been ingrained for a long time, as evidenced through these training materials.
Yeah, that would only be a beginning. And I would love to really see what he is talking about. I have a lot of respect for Governor Beshear, but this is a big deal. And he and other elected officials have to really be clear about that in the way that they respond. And it should not just be Kentucky responding. It needs to be an entire country responding. And can I say something about the rabbi's quote, which I think is, I posted on Facebook, listening to these two young men, Cooper and Satchel, and looking at their work, we should all be simultaneously disgusted and inspired. Because if they are the future, I want to be there following them.
Well, with that, I'm so very sorry to say that we have to wrap up for the broadcast today. But we're going to have some extra features about this really important conversation in our On Point podcast. So go and listen to that wherever you listen to your On Point podcast. But for now, let me say, Sadiqua Reynolds, president and CEO of the Louisville Urban League, thank you so very much. And Cooper and Satchel Walton, student journalist at DuPont Manual High School, who uncovered the story about the Kentucky State Police. Thank you to the both of you as well. We've got links to Cooper and Satchel's reporting at onpointradio.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.